interesting to me that two of our readings today begin with the same words. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be great. And in the gospel, do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, in the rest of the gospel, we're instructed in how to live the life that we've been called to live, to be courageous, to not be afraid to go out and do what we are called to do, to be generous, to not count the cost, to be willing to give of ourselves and of our resources, and to be ready, because we never know when we're going to be called upon to give what we alone can give. And when we immerse ourselves in that kind of life, we'll find out something that's very surprising. We'll find out that God is anxious to wait on us. And when you have immersed yourself and you're all into that kind of a life of Christ, God is going to be there. God will be ahead of you to lead you. He'll be beside you to accompany you. And he'll be behind you to carry you through. But first, let's try to identify what the kingdom means to us. What's your treasure? Each one of us has at least one. Do you know what your treasure is? What is it that God has given to you that no one else has in quite the same way? When you stop and consider who you are at the core of your being, what is it that you consider to be a treasure? What is it that God has placed deep within you that gives you great joy, that gives you purpose in life? What is it that sparks within you and then glows into being? Now, often in church circumstances, you might come across a workshop on spiritual gifts and try to help identify what your spiritual gifts are. And that's an important thing to do. That will include things like hospitality. How do you make people feel at home within the church situation? You might be a teacher. You might have a gift of healing. Things like that are considered to be spiritual gifts. But above and beyond that, you may have other gifts that really are interesting to you, that excite you, that you know that you can do well. As we've heard today already, we know that there are people with wonderful gifts of music, and we're thankful for that. We know that there are people with gifts in the way of arts. We know that there are some wonderful cooks in our midst. I want to tell you about a woman that I ran across in one of my former parishes. Her name was Edie. And when we got to talking about what are her gifts, people were naming some of these things I've already named. And Edie laughed out loud and she said, "The only thing I can think of is I've got a gift for shopping." And I said, "You know, we may be able to use that sometime." And lo and behold, there was another woman who worked in the school system, and she heard that there were migrant workers whose children would be in the school system at least for a semester, and they had particular needs. They needed book bags. They needed materials, you know, to go to school with. And they came from families that weren't able to really supply that. So we said, "Find out how many there are." And there was something like 20 or so. And she found out what grade levels they would be in and the special kinds of book bags that were needed in each school. And she found out what kind of materials were needed in those book bags. And when we all got together, we said, "Well, but how are we going to be able to buy all that kind of thing?" And Edie said, "I know where where we can get every last one of those things, and we'll get more than you could get as individuals. And we made up the 24 beds, and those children had everything they needed and then some, because Edie took the money that we gave her and was able to find the best bargains. She knew where to go. So community shopping was a real blessing in that instance. So think about it. Sometimes that thing that's, you know, important to you that you do well might be just what's needed in a particular circumstance. How important was a writer, and he told us this about that particular idea. He said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive, and then go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. It matters. It matters to the core who we are and what we have as gifts from God. As a Christian people, we are baptized into that life of faith, and we're all in. At least you should be, because it's a life that's fully immersed in grace. And as people who are baptized, we are immersed in the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. Now, later on in Luke's Gospel, we're going to hear about three examples of the meaning of how you find what's precious in life. He talks about looking for the lost sheep, looking for the lost coin, looking for the lost son. And so we're urged to find the courage to go out and do the thing that only we can do to take care of what and who is entrusted to us, whether it's a flock or finances or family. We're asked to be generous, to be willing to expend ourselves and our resources in order to care for whatever and whomever is entrusted to us. And we're asked to be ready and vigilant to recognize how we can be a good steward of all of those things that are entrusted to us. And when you are all of those things, courageous and generous and ready, you can expect that there's going to be a time when God waits on you. You can expect that if God gives you a responsibility to carry out a mission or a duty or an obligation, that God's going to also provide what you need to do that and to do it well. And one of the things that I've learned along the process of living my own life in Christ is that God does not wear you out in the process. God doesn't use you up and throw you away. No, God will not do that. Instead, God will wait on you. And when you plant your own heart and soul and mind and body to the work that God gives you to do, provisions will be made available to accomplish what you are being asked to do. Yes, you're going to have to work. Yes, you're going to have to expend energy, and you will get tired. Yes, you will need to come up with creative ways to accomplish what God is asking you to do. That's all part of living in the kingdom. And yes, you may have failures along the way. But in fact, I'm going to change that. You will have failures along the way. And God's going to pick up those failures and use them too. Not to punish you for them, but instead to point out to you a better direction. So if you have the courage to sit down after a failure and listen to the instruction and direction that you get, you will find that God has directed even that. It's one of the ways that God waits on us and ministers to us and leads us and carries us. It's all part of the lifestyle of being totally immersed in God's kingdom, God's way of life. Yesterday, I ran across a few words from Jane Goodall that I think will help us here. Because she says, you cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. Think about that. You cannot get through a single day without having an impact on the world around you. She further explains, what you do makes a difference, and you have to decide what kind of a difference you want to make. So, listen again to those words from the gospel. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So go for it. Go all in. Experience the joy of working alongside Jesus, secure in our Father's good pleasure. Amen.